Hi, I'm Bob Masalgo. Welcome to this in-studio session. I'm pleased to welcome Adeem the Artist to our studios here in Charlottesville. Adeem has a new album called White Trash Revelry. It's available now on 30 Tigers Records. And they're opening for Josh Ritter tonight at the Jefferson Theater in Charlottesville. Doors open at 7. Adeem should be on stage around 8 o'clock. Welcome to Charlottesville.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's so lovely to be here.
I understand it's your first time in town.
Yeah, I've never been through before. I've been told to go to the bagel shop and to go to the mall downtown.
The new album, White Trash Revelry, it's out now. A terrific album. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
But I understand there's an interesting story behind the funding, getting that on a major label.
Yeah, it's funny to hear you say that, even. Coming off of the pandemic, as if we're on the other side of it, you know, I identify as an artist, but also as a small business owner, and the idea of asking a bunch of strangers to jumpstart my business endeavor felt a little silly to me. And I needed around $15,000 to make the record land the way I wanted it to and sound the way I wanted it to, and so I just thought, with the mind of a child, what if I just asked 15,000 people for only $1? Maybe that would work out. Much to my surprise, it did. It really did. We were able to raise it in a month and a half or so of silly Twitter songs and TikTok videos. And we made the record. I made a list of people that I wanted to have on there. Everybody that I asked said yes. It was really serendipitous and sweet. And nobody really met each other until we showed up at the studio. Banged the thing out in like 3-4 days, maybe. Shot a DM over to David Macias on Twitter and said, hey, you want to get breakfast sometime?
And he's the president of 30 Tigers?
Yeah. The owner, president, doctor of 30? I don't know what his official title is.
He's the guy you had to talk to.
He's the guy, yeah.
Would you like to play a song from the new album?
I would love to, yeah. This song called Books and Records, and this is... you know, we sell our books and records in an effort to get by, saying, well, one day we'll be able to buy them back. And by that, I mean we put off the things that really bring us joy and meaning in this life to work jobs that are meaningless and don't fulfill us, in the hopes that one day we'll have time to get back to the things that bring our lives really meaning.
For the past few years, the rent keeps getting higher, and the neighbors all have cars but can't afford. I'm working two jobs now, and brother, I stay tired, but we could always stand to make a little more. The way it goes, we might not be here by December. We both know there's gonna have to be a break. Cries my blood to try and turn back on our power. Oh Lord, there's gotta be a better way. We've been selling off our books and records, instruments our grandparents played. Selling off our books and records, but we're gonna buy them back someday. These past few winters have been harder than expected. Unknown numbers call us all hours of the day. Both been learning how to cook our suppers cheaper, stretch it out until we get paid. The way it goes, I doubt we ever will retire, but the cast iron will be seasoned well by then. Moments by the fire, put a record on and read a book again. We've been off our books and records, instruments our grandparents played. We've been selling off our books and records, and we're gonna buy them back someday. Down at Tommy's pond, there's an unheard song buried in my grandpa's guitar. By a box of antique photos I got when Granny Marie passed on. We learn hard to take it on the chin, get our bells caught up in time to fall behind again. We've been selling off our books and records, instruments our grandparents played. We've been selling off our books and records, but we're gonna buy them back someday. We're gonna buy them back someday.
Adeem the Artist in studio at WNRN with a song from White Trash Revelry, the new album that's available now on 30 Tigers Records. You can see Adeem the Artist this evening at the Jefferson Theater. Doors open at 7, and Adeem will be on stage around 8 o'clock. Thanks for that song. It's a beautiful track from that album. I've gone back now and listened to the entire record again. I mean, I've listened to it several times. And one of the things I noticed about your songwriting is you make very effective use in subtle ways of humor and sarcasm. Where do you feel that fits in with songwriting for you?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, I come from a tradition of Christian songwriting. That's where I started out. And there's a kind of a sort of vapid literalism that happens in you know, all of contemporary Christian music that is very, this is the truth and this is what I want to say, and I want to say it directly. And in storytelling, which is what I do now, which is, I think, a more effective way to communicate about things and to communicate the real power behind the actions that you want to see people making. You know what I mean? I think humor is a really powerful tool to disarm people. And by that I mean, you don't joke with your enemies, you know. So to be comfortable enough to be lighthearted and to be able to hold things loosely and to laugh together is a really important thing if you're going to get through the hard stuff together. Because you can't get through the hard stuff together if you're not willing to be comfortable enough to say the wrong thing and be a little goofy, you know. I think it's really important.
How do you go about finding influences for your music? Do you look to other songwriters? Do you look to situations?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think this is my philosophy of writing is really firm about this. There's a lot of folks that I've known over the years that are very disciplined writers in ways that I've never been able to discipline myself. And for a long time, I thought maybe I was lazy for not being, you know, I will sit and I will write a song every day, or I will write this many hours. But what I found is that if you're listening right, everything you do is the work of writing songs. If you're listening well, then when you watch films, you notice the use of the scenery and the colors and everything. You notice the way the lighting hits you in a moment of profound sorrow and how it sort of interplays with the experience you're having. You know, I think that if you're not listening well, then you can't absorb anything or really connect with the meaning of anything. But if you're listening well as an artist, then you can really deconstruct the magic of life, and it all becomes a way of learning how to better do the thing. So yeah, I think everything a little bit.
I know you've come equipped today with a couple of songs that our audience probably has not heard. What would you like to, which one of those two different things would you like to do first?
I want to do this, new one. I had a really weird experience recently where I I got to open for the Mountain Goats. I went out on the road with them for 3 weeks. They're my favorite band of all time. So it was very embarrassing to sort of be on stage before them. And I was playing a show in Alabama, which is not the kindest legislative-wise to the trans community, of which I am part and parcel. And I was playing on Trans Day of Visibility in Alabama a week after a trans gunman opened fire on a school in Nashville, Tennessee, near where I live now. It's a weird place to talk about trans visibility. It's weird because there is the discomfort of the legislated attacks on our community, the way that the, I don't know, the zeitgeist just feels really, well, I'll tell you, it's political. It's intensely political. And there is this stirring from nefarious actors, you know. This is tied up in a history of actions at work to mitigate union from succeeding. But I think I'm distracting myself a little. But I got surprisingly emotional talking about this in a way I didn't expect. There is the sense that you don't want to be very visible at all, you know. And to couple that with the really compounded emotions of that event, where in many ways, you know, when I heard that there was a shooting at a school, I thought, as many of us do every time this happens, oh my God, again? You know? And then I didn't read anything about it because I can't do this. I can't. There's no correlation between my amount of knowledge and the amount of good that I do in the world is what I want to say. You know, it doesn't. I'm not able to prevent things when I know more about them. And so I went about my day and lying in bed. Began to hear that that there were stirrings, that the gunman was a trans person, and I was like, you know, it's a big heavy sigh, like, all right, I got to read about this thing because it's going to be something I'm going to have to talk about. And so I read about it, and I read the names of the children, and I saw the pictures, and I wept. It made me very sad. It made me very sad to think I had my kid laying on my arm, you know. And then read about this kid that done this, and you know, the ways we try to make sense of it and empathize and create a narrative so that it seems relatable in some way, and it's not relatable. It's chaos. It's insanity. It's perverse. So, and the night before, I was playing at the Chattanooga Walker Theater, and a woman shouted at me that the children were dead because of me. Because she saw my fingernail polish and my lipstick, and I guess was able to put two and two together that I was one of them tranny types that had done the bad thing. And so there's a lot of heaviness. I've been swimming in this stuff. I've been trying to figure out how to navigate that with humor. How do you hold that space? How do you hold the tragedy of it all? How do you hold the reality that you can't quite finish mourning the loss of children before you begin to worry about how the fact that the murderer was who it was might affect you and your livelihood and people's willingness to hear you out and understand your perspective and consider your community people at all. That's a lot of heaviness to hold. And this is a song that and it's been difficult for a long time in the queer community to have good mentors, because there's already such a profound accusation of nefarious intent within our community. And so I just thought about that. I thought about how much I wish I could scoop up all these kids like a parent would, you know, and tell them, hey, it's okay, you're all right. The state can tell your parents that it's okay to abuse you, but it's not. You know, you are who you are. Your life is yours, you know. Anyway, this is the new one.
You were standing at the register freckle-cheeked and starry-eyed, jewelry in your septum, purple hair badly dyed. And I waded through the space between the two of us like memoirs. You were barely 17, nursing suicide scars. And word that I can hold you like a father would, through the tumultuous seasons of your childhood. I looked you in the eyes, and I believe it was understood. I saw you. And now I'm alone, thoughts of you, and there's not a lot I can do, but I can sing a song for you if it makes you feel better. Like a magic spell and melody for all the kids like you and me who don't know what we're supposed to be. You were loved, you were treasured. Word that I can hold you like a father would, through the tumultuous seasons of your childhood. Look you in the eyes, and I believe it is understood. I see you. I've not been there. Don't pretend to understand the pain you've known. But I've traveled well through places where light has never shone. You're not alone. Were that I could hold you like a father would, through the tumultuous seasons of your childhood. Look you in the eyes, and I declare you are good. I see you.
Adeem, the artist, in studio at WNRN. That's a new song. What's that one called?
That one's called I See You.
I was trying to guess the title. I think I had it wrong. Oh, well.
It used to be called Suicide Scars, but
I like I See You better.
It's a bit inflammatory.
That's a beautiful song, and we'll look forward to hearing that on some recording. Now, I know you have got a to-do list for Charlottesville. I don't want to keep you here too much longer. But I want to remind everybody that you're playing at the Jefferson Theater this evening, opening for Josh Ritter, doors at 7 o'clock, music at 8. And Adeem the Artist has a new album called White Trash Revelry, available now on 30 Tigers Records. But I hope you have time for another song.
I do, yeah. Well, you're not taking up my time. I feel like I'm taking up your time.
Oh, no, not at all.
Rambling on here. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you. Let's see. Let's see if we can figure out another one. This is a song by Ravon Pettis. He's a very talented Nashville songwriter and a soldier who writes beautiful songs. And this is one that always hung with me. I listened to this song probably 1,000 times.
Abdullah was a student at Balk University, 20 miles north of the Uzbek line. Lost his heart to a girl named Lily with Pashtun eyes and a crooked little smile. Late in the evening they'd climb the scaffolding, smoke cigarettes in the dying light. As a raw man from the Bamiyan land, who were you before tonight? Well, they killed my mother and they raped my sister. Father died in the Civil War, hid in the well, and when the bleeding stopped, didn't want to be a soldier anymore. So I went to the city to get an education. find a profession where no one died. I was trying to paint the big blue mosque in Ma's alright when I saw your eyes. They killed my father in the Civil War too, Lily says with a sigh and another smoke. Mother said he was a beautiful man with a Kandahar laugh and a Tajik joke. Some late nights I almost remember the way he held me in the morning sun, singing, "Lily, Lily, my beautiful girl, your life has just begun." Well, there is no cover for an educated Pashtun woman in Mulali's eyes. Followed them down when they were crossing the river, shot three times and he missed twice. Well, you wanna have faith, but you gotta be real. Snap of his glove, the doctor says. I'm sure Abdullah was a really nice guy. Now he's just one more Afghan dead. But she waited through the night and waited through the morning. On the third day, he woke up from a dream. The first thing he saw was Pashtun eyes. The first thing he heard was Lily screaming, "Allah Akbar," up in the heaven, keeping fools like you alive, she said. The bullet missed his heart by a good 2 inches. In another 2 weeks, he was out of bed. Lily and Abdullah, they're doing all right. Got a beautiful house where the children play. He's working days as a builder's apprentice, putting steel gates on the Harriton Gate. Some cold winter nights, she holds him close, dreaming in Dari to the morning light. Singing, "Life is a terrifying, beautiful thing," 20 miles north of the Uzbek line.
Adeem the Artist in studio at WNRN in our Charlottesville studios. Adeem the Artist has a new album called White Trash Revelry. It's available now on 30 Tigers Records, and they will be playing tonight at the Jefferson Theater, opening for Josh Ritter. Now the doors open at 7, and Adeem the Artist will be on stage around 8 o'clock. Beautiful song. Where did you hear that first time?
Oh, my buddy Cassin Guffey is in a band called My Politic, which you might be familiar with. I don't know. He sent that to me, and he was like, "You're going to love this song. It's one of the best I've ever heard." And that was a couple years ago, and it's been on my mind a lot lately for some reason. But yeah, I love that idea that that he went over and served in the military and came home with that head full of big ideas about how relatable the folks were there, you know? That's not a story you often hear.
That's true. I sure appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Andrew.
And once again, playing this evening at the Jefferson Theater, they'll be opening for Josh Ritter, doors at 7 o'clock and music at 8. Big thanks to Graham and Michaelin for their support on today's sessions. I'm Bob Masago for WNRN. Thanks for listening.